So what do they do now?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Government prosecutors may need to rethink their strategy in cases related to the financial crisis. Yesterday, the government lost its first criminal case involving the crisis. A couple of Bear Stearns hedge fund managers were acquitted of lying to investors. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now from our Washington Bureau. She's live with us. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So how does the outcome of this case affect what prosecutors might do in the future?
Well, you know, Steve, for one thing, they might not want to rely so much on emails. In the Bear Stearns case, the prosecutors used emails in their efforts to convict the two fund managers, Ralph Chaffee and Matthew Tannen. And in one of those emails, Tannen had emailed Chaffee referring to a report. And he said, if the report is correct, the entire subprime market is toast. But jurors were quoted as saying, prosecutors took the emails out of context.
So then how does this issue of possibly taking emails out of context affect prosecutors' strategy going forward?
Well, for one thing, they might decide to bring civil cases, not criminal cases. The Bear Stearns case was a criminal case. I talked about this with Stanley Sporkin, and he's an attorney and a former director of enforcement at the SEC.
In a civil route, the proof required of the government is less than in a criminal case. In a civil case, the proof is not beyond a reasonable doubt.
Now, in civil cases, I'm not an attorney here, Steve, but this is as I understand it. In civil cases, prosecutors don't have to prove their charges beyond a reasonable doubt. Civil cases are measured by what's called a preponderance of the evidence. If the evidence tilts toward a person, then the person is guilty. There's also clear and convincing evidence, which is a little stronger standard. Now, interestingly enough, Chaffee and Tannen still face charges from the Securities and Exchange Commission in another case. It is a civil lawsuit, and the SEC says it will go forward with that case.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer at our Washington Bureau. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Let's check numbers. Markets are still up in Europe in positive territory right now. Everyone's up a percent and a half. Asian markets closed mostly higher today. Chinese shares were slightly lower. That's despite some really good news out of China. The country's industrial output, their production there, shot up more than 16% to a year-and-a-half high last month. Yesterday, Wall Street ended near where it began. The S&P was flat, the NASDAQ gave back under a quarter of a percent, and the Dow tacked on about 20 points to close at 10,246. Former President Bill Clinton is urging Senate Democrats to pass health care legislation by year's end. He says an imperfect bill is better than failure, like the one he and the party went through in 1994. Mr. Clinton made an unusual visit to the party's closed-door caucus at the invitation of Majority Leader Harry Reid. Question, what's the most profitable cell phone maker in the world? Here's your clue. It only makes one phone. The answer from Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
It's Apple. The company controls no less than 2% of the cell phone market, but its iPhone has made it the most profitable in the industry. As a result of strong summer sales, Apple snatched the most profitable spot from Nokia. That's according to the firm's Strategy Analytics, which reported Apple made about $500 million more in cell phone sales than Nokia did in the third quarter. Thing is, Nokia makes far more cell phones than Apple. The Finnish company controls 40% of the market. But analysts say the problem is Nokia hasn't been able to compete with the iPhone. Yesterday, the company unveiled a phone that it hopes will do that. The smartphone is called the N900. We'll have to see if the device is catchier than the name. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Well, the fortunes of another high-tech giant aren't faring as well. Adobe Systems, the top maker of design software, has been facing declining revenue. So now the company's going ahead with plans to cut 9% of its workforce. That's 680 jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. SunGard Availability Services operates 5 million square feet of secure data center space dedicated to keeping people and information connected. More information at sunguard.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
You know what they say about the difference between men and women who are lost? The woman will ask for directions while the man will just try and find his way on his own. Well, according to a report out this morning, that may apply to investment decisions as well, as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
In a survey, the online brokerage Scottrade asked women and men the same question. Did your investment portfolio hold the same value or increase over the past year? Scottrade's Chris Maloney says yes was the answer for 48% of each gender.
So their performance is basically the same. However, when you ask women about their level of confidence or their overall confidence in their abilities to do their own investing, they rank themselves a lot lower.
And he says the survey found women are more likely to seek financial education before investing. Marian Asnes at Financial Planning Magazine has studied women's money management. She says today's report should make women feel better about investing.
Those women who had been sneered at as being risk-averse and passive and blah, 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 turned out to do pretty darn well simply because they made well-considered decisions and stuck with them.
The study also found more women than men are using their investments to save for a family member's education or for a rainy day. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, being Santa Claus at a shopping center or museum means you have to know the lingo. These days, kids are wanting PSPs or DVDs or Nintendo DSIs. Oh, the horror of abbreviations. In Britain, PC World is helping out. About 30 Kris Kringle wannabes have taken the magazine up on free training so they can deepen their knowledge of all the technical choices before having to check their lists twice. One Santa said he remembers the days of Connect Four when simple games were the rule. We here in the States remember this one.
No, no, I want an officer right under cover and I shoot you in a chair with my laser rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Ah, Ralphie, be careful with that thing, will you? From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.